You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Welcome, everybody. It's Tuesday. Feels like Thursday. Feels like maybe it should be even weeks over. But no, Tuesday. And that means, to my great benefit, and I hope yours, I'll be joined this hour by my good friend and fellow attorney, Jim Santel, former U.S. attorney for the Eastern District of Wisconsin. Welcome back to the show.
Maggie, whether it's Tuesday, Thursday, or Friday, I'm always delighted to share this table and part of your show with you every single time.
It is always educational for me, especially. I appreciate your time. And Jim, you may have heard that Civic Media is doing this fabulous Scotty Summer Text to Win contest, statewide Text to Win contest. We're going to be doing this every day for the next 2 weeks. It ends next Friday. So to enter to win, I'm going to be dropping the keyword of this hour. Just during this hour, got to text in using the Civic Media app during the hour. Again, during the hour, I'm going to give you the word in a little bit. You're going to want to hang on until you get the word for today. And then text it in using the app. You will be qualified to win a prize for just those that enter during this hour. You will also be qualified to win one of our grand prizes. We've got getaways to the Door County area, which I love. You all know that, as well as the Wisconsin Dells, some other amazing prizes. You can find all the contesting rules at civicmedia.us. But hang tight, everybody. We're going to be dropping the word of the hour shortly so that you can text via the app to win and kick off your Scotty summer with a bang on Civic Media's dime, which is the best part of all of that. I am excited. I'm particularly excited today to talk about a little bit of like, hey, let's get our heads up above the tree line, our eyes above the tree line, and see what's actually going on here. And I love talking about this stuff with fellow public servants because what's going on now is so out of the norm by huge, massive leaps and bounds.
And we think, Maggie, about the possibility that this kind of thing could have been, whether it's in Milwaukee County or the U.S. Attorney's Office. And we think about the prospect that these people who have no qualifications would be in those positions, either supervising us or we supervising them. And we cannot imagine that, right?
No.
That's the problem.
It's so odd. And I wanted to start, we're going to be talking about tariffs a goodly bit. I've got Sean Fetoplace joining me at the top of the 5 o'clock hour to talk about the impact of this crazy nonsense on again, off again tariff. What is it even? What? Only 30-some% of the American public thinks that the tariffs are going to be good. By the way, they're wrong. I trust that they genuinely believe that, but they're wrong. We're going to talk to Sean Fetoplace of the Main Street Alliance about the tariffs' impacts on small businesses, because all of us care about that. Small businesses employ 68 million Americans. They account for over 90% of businesses operating in the state of Wisconsin. They employ millions here. They are the lifeblood of our economy, and the tariff terror of taxes from Donald Trump is going to crush small businesses, and it will get worse. So we're going to talk with Sean Fetoplace on that point, just to set up a little bit this afternoon. You remember that Rojo, he wants more cruelty in the big, brutal bill, more cuts, because Ron is trying to position himself as some sort of deficit hawk. Didn't seem to bother him during Trump 1.0 when he voted for the largest single increase to our nation's deficit back then, in conjunction with the largest tax cut up till then, up till this big brutal bill for the wealthiest among us. Didn't hear peep from Ron back then. Now he seems to be concerned about tariffs. Let's take a listen. This is going to be cut 14. Jacob, thanks.
Can you see yourself voting for this big, beautiful bill at all?
Not in the current structure, no. Hmm. Yeah, I refuse to vote for something that's going to actually increase the deficits, exacerbate the problem from the current situation. Again, we shouldn't be talking about this right now. We should have been doing all the work, like I say, multi-step process. We'd already have the border funding, we'd have defense, we'd have $850 billion of real savings banked already. Plus, we could have extended current tax law, taken tax rate increase off the table. We could have had all that done, but unfortunately, decisions were made to do one big, beautiful bill. It's not beautiful. I'm sorry. It's not a big, beautiful bill. That's called rhetoric.
So Ron's a hard no, at least right now. We'll see if he actually maintains hard no. But he's been very vocal locally on all the national news networks, goes on CNBC and Fox all the time talking about this. Doesn't seem to be at all concerned about the hundreds of thousands of Wisconsinites that may get kicked off of Medicaid. Not worried about Wisconsinites going hungry. None of that. Just deficit hawking. Seems to have found some religion there. Interesting, because the White House is apparently a little ticked off about that. And this is what Caroline Leavitt has had to say just yesterday about Rojo. Take a listen.
On the Big Beautiful Bill, you said recently that it is, quote, blatantly wrong to say that it adds to the deficit. You essentially said that an estimate from the Congressional Budget Office and other scorekeepers you believe are wrong. But Republicans like Ron Johnson and Rand Paul disagree. They are saying that it will add to the deficit. That is their concern. Is the White House's position that those two Republican senators are, quote, blatantly wrong?
It is. Those senators, it's not news that they disagree with this president on policy. And the president has vocally called them out for it and for their not having their facts together. I would add the Congressional Budget Office has been historically wrong. In fact, they predicted the Trump tax cuts from the president's first term in 2017. Their prediction was wrong by $500 billion. Those tax cuts had nearly $500 billion more of revenue than the Congressional Budget Office scored. And I would also point out, I don't think many people know this, there hasn't been a single staff in the entire Congressional Budget Office that has contributed to a Republican since the year 2000. But guess what? There have been many staffers within the Congressional Budget Office who have contributed to Democrat candidates and politicians every single cycle since. So, unfortunately, this is an institution in our country that has become partisan and political, and we are very confident in our own economic analyses of this bill. There is $1.6 trillion in savings, and our Office of Management and Budget Director...
Just wrap the... Blah, 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 blah. Okay, so I just want to be really clear here. Unless we can make the, I think it's Apple TV show Severance.
Mm, yes.
An actual thing. It is not a rebuttal of the CBO's work to say that some people who worked in the CBO, and I don't know even if this is accurate. She lies all the time from the podium, so it may not be. But yes, people that work in government have their private political beliefs.
And sometimes they make contributions in their private capacity,
correct,
which
money
they
is
can
speech.
Do.
Remember, money Absolutely. Is speech. So First Amendment. Unless you expect people to undergo a severance type brain wipe and show up in government, yes, you're going to have people with a whole spectrum of beliefs. It doesn't discredit the CBO. Caroline Leavitt's quotation of the $500 billion off. Well, just remember, everybody, that Donald Trump's first tax cuts increased the deficit by multiple trillions. And yes, the CBO uses projections that are based on all sorts of economic assumptions. I'm an economist. I will joke to people. I'll tell you how much or when, but never both at the same time. These are the economist jokes. So yeah, there's always some error. It doesn't mean that the overarching analysis is wrong. And legit, every single analysis, whether the Yale Budget Lab, the Brennan Center, the CBO, the Council for a Responsible Budget, the Institute of Taxation and Economic Policy, ITEP, I could name a ton of them, including the conservative think tanks, the American Enterprise Institute. All of them looked at this next big windfall to the ultra wealthy and said, yeah, you're looking at depending on how it's structured, depending on the final contours of the bill, somewhere in the ballpark of $3 trillion to $5 plus trillion in increased deficit because Donald Trump wants to give tax breaks to the ultra wealthy, the billionaire class that don't need them anyways. Them's the facts. I don't know. Caroline Leavitt does not live on Earth One. I'm just saying.
She does not. And again, to your good point, Maggie, again, you get variations depending upon which particular think tank it may be. And it's premised in part upon the kinds of things they use to generate their numbers. But the CBO itself, you know this better than anybody does. What is their mission? It is to be nonpartisan, right? You come up with an idea on Capitol Hill. You say, I want to do something in agriculture or commerce or education. And the first thing, not maybe not the first thing, but the second or third third thing that happens right after the first thing is let's refer to the CBO. Let's have those folks, experts, yes. right, do analysis. We're going to talk about expertise, I think, in just a few moments. And they approach these kinds of things with their expertise and come back, whether you're Republican, independent, or Democratic representative, and say, this is our best intelligent experienced-based estimate about how much this is going to cost.
People, again, this idea that because people in their private lives have political viewpoints, that makes them incapable of rendering apolitical, nonpartisan analyses. We're talking about number crunchers, people that really will not come up with 2 + 2 = 12.5, right? They'll come up with 4. This has been this line that's come out from the Trump administration over and over and over again. And here's what I want to ask Jim and each and every one of you. Who do you think has hired the most credible, smartest, best in class, best in industry people to fill out their administration? Donald Trump 2.0 or Democrats? Who do you think is more likely to exercise their duties today in a nonpartisan, apolitical kind of way? People that are afraid of Donald Trump issuing an executive order specifically targeting them as an individual because they have a political belief that is contrary to the president's political beliefs? What does all of this mean? And who actually is running things within our government? Is it, quote, the best people ever? Or is it some other version of this? And if they're not the best people ever, why aren't they? And there's a lot of answers to these questions. We're going to be talking about a lot of them. We want to hear from you. I have a particular viewpoint. I think you can see it manifesting as we look through these cabinet level positions and department head positions that Donald Trump has been appointing to. And I think there is a reason for this that is a little bit more nuanced than the good people won't work for him anymore. So he's deep onto C, D squad lists. It's more than just, I want loyalists.
There's something very intentional here, right? Right? This is not just, well, these are the folks who said, I met with them at a party and they said, I want to be an ambassador somewhere here. I wanted to be the head of the SBA or the Social Security Administration.
And I think it's beyond pure corruption. I think there is something else. And maybe it's by accident that we end up with this effect. But I think that there's something that I believe is much more actually intentional. I don't believe it's accidental. And I believe it is having a real impact on how government is working or not. We're going to talk about some of the big head-scratchingest appointees, including some as of late. And then we're going to break down the bigger picture. I've got Jim Santel with me, former U.S. Attorney for the Eastern District of Wisconsin. My name's Maggie Dawn. Your key word to win this hour and the summer Scani giveaway is relax. We want you to have a relaxing summer. R-E-L-A-X. I'll drop it again in our next segment. Stay tuned, everybody. We got a humdinger of a Maggie Dawn show for you right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back, everybody. My name's Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. As I do every other Tuesday, I'm joined by Jim Santel, former U.S. Attorney for the Eastern District of Wisconsin. Why does Donald Trump appoint people who are literally on the D list of experts? Yes, he wants loyalists, but in Trump 1, he found people that were willing to go along with huge swaths of his agenda, but who were amongst conservative intellectuals in the Federalist Society. These people were at least experts. They had deep bona fides. The conservative commentariat, the conservative elites knew these people were serious thinkers, serious lawyers, the Don McGahns, right? You can go on and on. His judicial nominees met a certain standard for the most part. There's still the Aileen Cannons of the world. But more often than not, you saw big thinkers that he was picking to run departments.
And they're also institutionalists, right, Maggie? They're people who understood by virtue of their expertise. They know how things work. And again, you may disagree with their policy. This is your point. Their policies, their
practices, yes.
All those kinds of things. But it was hard to argue with respect to many of them. I will tell you, I was on this radio very broadcast talking about how good a former attorney, now former attorney general, named Bill Barr was going to be. Why? Because we'd been around before, and he's institutionalist. He's got, again, the bona fides, as you say.
Yes.
Now, we had some other issues with him because of his loyalty to the president.
And I think Bill Barr's track record was also very scary. But Bill Barr was a very extremely brilliant lawyer, experienced attorney general, knows the norms and rules of the DOJ and wanted to respect those. So let's just, as a little refresher, we could pick oh so many nominees. There is the Kash Patel at FBI. First, who was it? Matt Gaetz, right? Ridiculous. Oh, no, Matt Gaetz wasn't FBI. He was the attorney general. Now we got Pam Bondi. You get the drift. We have Kirstie Noem. In case we forgot, Kirstie Noem, who's supposed to run the Department of Homeland Security, doesn't know what habeas corpus is, which is kind of important when you're supposed to be running the Department of
Dealing with bodies and detentions and movements around the country and the world.
Let's take a listen, just as a refresher.
So, Secretary Noem, what is habeas corpus?
Well, habeas corpus is a constitutional right that the president has to be able to remove people from this country and suspend their right.
Let me wrap that up. It's not even close. Like, you're a moron. I can't believe that you don't know that. She did know that Congress is the Article I branch of government. She got that. But she's an idiot.
The bar is pretty low.
Now, this is Elizabeth Warren last week decimating Donald Trump's appointee to lead the IRS. Take a listen to this.
And I'm asking what I think is a pretty simple question. Can the president of the United States legally tell the IRS to change someone's nonprofit status?
I'm not able to answer.
You can't read these words and tell what those words say.
I can read the statute, and I did.
All right, then tell me what they mean. What does it mean to say that a person, an applicable person here, that's the president, right?
Yes.
All right. Cannot directly or indirectly, right? Tell any officer or employee, that would be you, of the Internal Revenue Service to conduct or terminate an audit or other investigation of any particular taxpayer. What part do you not understand here?
It seems to be not a nonprofit. I don't see exactly what.
Oh, he doesn't understand that person in the federal code includes entities like nonprofits? You freaking moron. By the way, remember that the president cannot direct any investigation to audit or otherwise alter the tax status or whatever's going on of any individual taxpayer. So the president cannot order an investigation of an individual taxpayer. Remember that. We're going to come back to that in just a second. Billy Long, total moron, doesn't need to be running the IRS, doesn't need to be anywhere near any government function since he can't read words in the statute which subscribes, specifies, and circumscribes his duties as the commissioner of the IRS. We can go on and on and on. And yesterday, Jim, the guy who's supposed to be running... we've got one more. I forgot about the Social Security guy.
On the phone, talking to his friend about this thing he just discovered. Thought it would be neat.
Take a listen to this. This is Donald Trump's appointee to run the Social Security Administration. You know, that thing that they want to gut and decimate and you know, blow up next. Take a listen to this genius.
And it's about Social Security. And I'm really not. I swear I'm not looking for a job. And I'm like, well, what am I going to do? So I'm Googling Social Security, you know, one of my great skills. I'm one of the great Googlers on the East Coast. But that is the headline for the Post. Great Googler. Googler in chief.
The guy doesn't know what the Social Security... This is Frank Bisignano. What? And now, Jim, we find out that we are now in hurricane season. We have more hurricanes now than our weather models predicted 5 years ago. They are to devastating impact. We know funding has been held up. And what, very briefly, we got less than a minute, Jim, did the guy who's appointed to FEMA have to say?
According to insiders out there, reliably reporting, that at some meeting as late as yesterday, Maggie, he stood up and said, I wasn't aware of the fact that we have hurricane season in America. I wasn't aware of the fact that happens. One of the most important things for his agency is also NOAA. They keep people alive based upon the predictions that they make and the things that happened, monitoring them all the time. He's going to be in charge. He doesn't know the basics. Stunning.
Why the morons? At what risk to us, other than the sheer incompetence, which is its own special risk, we discuss with you, Jim, and myself next. 855-752-4842. Keep it locked right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back, everybody. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Well, you are in the midst of Civic Media's statewide Scotty Summer Text to Win contest. During this hour, download the Civic Media app for free wherever you get your apps from. Just search for Civic Media. There it is. Download that puppy. And then use the text button on the app to text this word, RELAX. RELAX is the word of the hour, this 4 o'clock hour. It's going to register you to win one prize that will be given away to folks that text this hour for our daily prize. It will enter you to win one of our grand prizes. We've got getaways to Door County and Wisconsin Dells, all kinds of cool stuff. You can check out all the contesting rules and prizes at civicmedia.us. Text that word, RELAX, RELAX, during the hour to qualify to win this afternoon. The fun continues tomorrow and every day for the next 2 weeks. Keep your station locked in with Civic Media all day long, every day, Monday through Friday, for multiple chances to win. Again, today's word, relax. I'm always more relaxed when he's with me. It's a former U.S. attorney for the Eastern District of Wisconsin, Jim Santel. So we've been talking about the parade of fools that Donald Trump has appointed to critical positions. A guy appointed to lead FEMA, who said yesterday to his FEMA leadership and staff, oh, I didn't know there was a U.S. hurricane season. Well, it started on Sunday. They're expecting potentially as many as 10 hurricanes. We know that funding is running out because Republicans refuse to increase FEMA funding. People will be hurt. People will die because of these extreme weather events. The guy has no emergency management experience at all. This gentleman's name is David Richardson. He has no emergency management experience. I just want everybody to... So I know a ton of emergency managers. All of them worked in intelligence and military or as first responders of some type. It is really difficult work. This guy doesn't know what he's doing.
It is hugely difficult. And we also know that there are people out there who could take these positions. Why? Because, yes, they started after graduate school at the lowest levels, and they work way up for sometimes 10, 15, 20. You and I, again, in our various legal areas, spend a lot of time inside government and eventually become familiar with how things work.
You're a freaking expert.
Right,
you're an expert.
Right.
This guy, the guy who didn't know what the Social Security... I googled the job. The guy from the IRS who can't say what the words mean when the federal law says the president can't tell you to investigate certain people.
The head of HHS who did not know that Medicaid does not involve monies paid into it by the recipients of it, deductibles he was talking about, and other financial pieces of it. He's head of HHS now. Didn't understand Medicaid.
No, says right? Okay, so here's where I wanted to get to. One of the executive orders that Donald Trump has issued is an executive order that targeted a guy by the name of not just Chris Krebs, I'm blanking on the other guy. What's his name? The guy that wrote the anonymous book.
Right,
Miles Taylor. No. Thank you. I knew my brain would turn back on. Miles Taylor. It individually targets him. We know that Donald Trump has taken a special interest in Harvard. He's targeting Harvard. We know that Donald Trump has fired many, many people in all kinds of like low-level innocuous jobs. You talked about the lady that was running the portrait gallery. If they made a contribution to a Democrat, you're fired. Here's what I think we're looking at. Not only are people who are nincompoops more likely to simply go along with whatever somebody's saying, does it open up the possibility of greater corruption? Yes. Is it dysfunctional? Makes it easier to break all these critical government systems if you actually realize that that's what they're trying to do, is break and break down and dismantle government. All of that's true. And there's this other piece. We saw in the first Trump administration, people like Miles Taylor, who spoke out. He did it anonymously then. He's subsequently said it was me. He wrote that blistering op-ed that said, basically, there are all kinds of people in the Trump first administration that are trying to be the guardrails.
We are staying inside government to try to make this work, right?
To make it
don't
less
worry.
Terrible.
Well, you should worry, but know that we're still here.
There are
and we
some
are
good
competent,
people. Right.
Right, right.
They kept, by Miles telling, they kept all kinds of stuff literally off the president's desk because it was illegal. It was immoral. People were telling him that. Now he is going after all of those people, right? The Liz Cheneys, the Bill Barrs, the Miles Taylor. Here's what is really, this is kind of in the weeds, everybody, but I want to get your reactions. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. And I wanted to talk about it with you specifically, Jim, because I knew when I took my job as corp counsel of Milwaukee Council, you knew when you took your job and agreed to go through the appointment and vetting process to become a U.S. attorney. I knew at all times relevant thereto exactly where the bounds
yes.
were, where the lines are, where the boundaries are. Mm-hmm. Okay, I knew I was going to do that job objectively. I wasn't going to pull any punches. I wasn't going to be an arm of politicians with political agendas. I knew all of that.
The standards were there, right?
Correct. All of those standards. I knew that I was probably going to tick a bunch of people off when I did my job correctly because I wasn't going to bow to my the guy that appointed me,
right.
Or I wasn't going to bow to all kinds of political pressure. I needed to do the job. And I knew that they could potentially kick me out mm-hmm. of my job
right.
because of that.
Right.
And here's the thing. I knew that I had a strong resume. I had established a reputation for expertise. I was well respected in my fields. That if I was no longer the corp counsel for Milwaukee County, I could go get another job.
The world does not stop turning on its axis for you and the
correct,
rest of us, right?
Correct.
You've got something out there based upon all the experience you have, the education, the practical applications of those standards. And what that means, of course, the point you're making is that when it comes to those decisions you're making inside that position, you are guided by the law, by the facts, and you do not, because you're freed up by that, right? You're freed up by that knowledge that you can go someplace else to tell people on both sides of the political aisle across the board.
I'm not doing your bidding.
I'm not doing your bidding. You can say, this is what I always tell assistant U.S. attorneys, the great thing about government jobs, it's not only the opportunity, it's the obligation to say no.
Yes.
Your client is calling upon you to say no. Sometimes yes. Very often
sometimes
yes.
Sometimes no.
Right? Right? But sometimes no. And you've got that liberty to do it because, number one,
not
you are,
just liberty.
Right?
The duty to say
right,
no.
The oath.
And it's not just, is it constitutional or not? Is it moral or not?
Right.
Is it going to have a overarchingly... We are all called. That is part of your duty. You resign those jobs if people will not listen to you and you believe that they're actively doing harm. Here's what the problem is with all of these nincompoops in these jobs. If I can be so blunt as to say these people aren't not just lacking in expertise in these fields, they have absolutely no credibility at all whatsoever. All of them would never be hired actually in the private sector to do any of the things that they're doing in the public sector. Wouldn't happen because they're so bad at it. They have no... So what this creates is not only a deep lack of meaningful, credible expertise at the heads of these incredibly important departments. Hegseth, DOD, right? Tulsi Gabbard.
Right.
RFK, don't listen to me. I'm not a doctor. I don't give medical advice. Yes, you do, sir. That's literally the job that you said. Again and again, Billy Long, IRS, this Bisignano or whatever his name is, over and over and over and over again.
The deputy director of the FBI, right? Same situation. Yes. There, somebody was coming in not only with an axe to grind, but no background, no information. Background.
And so these people not only, there's two things. They have no alternative than to serve Donald Trump. Because they don't have the credibility, the respect, or frankly, the intellectual heft to even know where the lines are or to act in a credible way to garner respect of those that aren't required to agree with. Like, that is what respect and credibility. So they have nowhere else to go. And they're terrible at it, which means they don't know where any of the lines are. This is sort of the double-barreled problem. They'll just accept whatever the president says because they don't know any better. And even if they had a glimmer of that light, they can't say no, because where else would they ever go to get a job that gives them this much power?
And they know there's that no day place. To day, I've got to say yes, because my very job right now depends upon that. As you just said, there's no ability to fall back on something
there's
else.
There's no fallback for these people. Yeah, oh, they can go work in a conservative thing. They're not going to have any real power or control. They can't do anything else but what they're doing now. They are at the apex of their powers. And I say this about a lot of Congress people on the MAGA regime side, too. They stay and they supplicate themselves because, A, they don't know any better, and B, when they have these brief moments of lucidity, moments of clarity, as folks that are in the program and know Bill would say, they can't leave, because where would they go? MAGA is scorched earth. There is no middle ground. There's no place for conservative dissenters. And this brings me, Jim, to this moment where we are now seeing, largely in amicus briefs, which is the name of your fine program on Saturdays, Amicus, a law review. Amicus means friend of the court. It is when a group of people who have an interest in a particular case get together and they write to the court and say, here is our collective expertise and our viewpoint on this particular case. We are now seeing conservatives, and I'm talking conservative elites,
It is a list of everybody that we know from the past couple of decades.
From all corners, economists, lawyers, former elected officials, former federal judges, coming together and case after case after case after case, filing amicus briefs, saying, I believe their audience actually isn't the judge, though it is nominally the judge. Mm-hmm. But I believe that these conservative legal scholars and public policy scholars are actually trying to talk to other conservatives. Right. Donald Trump has made it so hard on network news and other places. Like, he is criminalizing critique, right? You critique him, that's a crime.
Right. Right. I'll refer you for investigation if you do, by the way, right?
So what are these conservatives? They're gathering together in large number, and then they're speaking as a group to other conservatives, I believe, to try to create some airspace and cover for other conservatives of good faith to speak up.
Whether they're in Congress, other places, to stand up and say, you know what? There's this group of very credible people, historically and even presently. And look at what they're saying. They're not saying crazy things at all. Even with, when we get to the issues here about the tariffs themselves, they're not contesting whether or not a particular tariff with respect to Mexico or Canada is right or wrong.
No, it's
they're
actually beside
something
the point.
Fundamentally about the Constitution and the incapacity of a president to do this. And they're saying it again in great numbers. Senators, as you said, others and who have got, again, the bona fides in the conservative area. But actually, in this brief also, you've got some Democrats and some liberals mixed in, right?
Yes. If we thought it was important before for conservatives to speak out, every day that Trump's authoritarianism continues forward, it is more important for conservatives to speak now. Jim and I discuss with each and every one of you, 855-752-4842. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We're in the middle of our Wisconsin statewide Scotty Summer Text to Win contest. You need the app to text in. All you have to do is text in the word of the hour, which I'm about to give to you, and it will qualify you to win prizes just for this hour today, the 4 to 5 o'clock hour, as well as enter you to win a couple of our grand prizes, which include a getaway to Wisconsin Dells and a getaway to Door County. We even cover your gas for you. I mean, who knew that a radio text to win giveaways could be so amazing for your summer? So if you want to qualify to win, please download the app wherever you get your apps from. It is free. And text in this word. I want everybody to relax this summer. Relax, R-E-L-A-X. And the fun will continue tomorrow in the 4 o'clock hour on this fine program and with every single one of my Civic Media colleagues all day long. I've got Jim Santel with me. He's going to stick around for the entire show because we've got so much to talk about. I've been talking about this phenomena. In my opinion, the D-minus team of people that Donald Trump has appointed to some of the most important positions in government, one of the reasons that these departments will run poorly, the only reason they will run at all is because there are many thousands of good will civil servants that will continue to do their job to the best of their ability. But to the extent that these functions, these departments start to break down a bit, one, it's because Elon Musk, our billionaire overlord, took a chainsaw to government without any rhyme or reason, without using actual audit processes, et cetera. By the way, Donald Trump this week saying that Elon Musk is not really gone, that he's still here, he's here to stay. I mean, who knows? That's part of it. Here's the other piece. These people that he has appointed lack any credibility within actual expert circles in these particular function areas. They are functionally unemployable outside of the MAGA bubble. What does this mean? It means they're not competent enough to know the difference, frankly, between right and wrong. They don't understand the basic job description that they're signing up for. And when you don't understand the basic functions of your job, you'll just do what Dear Leader says.
Right. And right now I'm getting a paycheck, right, in this position. I've got this spot right now. I'm not qualified for it. Maybe in their deep, dark recesses, they know that somewhere. I hope they do. But even if they don't, I'm getting an employment position right now. I'm not qualified for it, but I'm getting a paycheck. And look, all the attention of the nation and of the world is on me right now. There is nothing beyond that. There is no place for them to go afterwards. And so once again, what does that free them up to do? It frees them up to say nothing but yes.
Correct.
Nothing
but
yes.
The only alternative job for these people is within the MAGA regime. It's within the bubble. You can't talk, like, no credible people in the private sector will ever hire any of these people. They are forever tainted. The private sector and actual experts know these people are nonsense, and they've so prostrated themselves, they've so corrupted themselves that they have rendered themselves functionally unemployable anywhere in the credible private sector or credible industry or any other credible government unit. It's why, for example, I've talked to some of my colleagues in state and local governments across the country. Would anybody be surprised that they are literally overwhelmed with job applicants? Mm. It's all of the people fleeing this nonsensicalness. You add to that the fact that so many of these people are 100 millionaires and billionaires, so they're incompetent in their position. They're super out of touch. They can never work anywhere. And once you have given up your soul, once you have not, you fail to act with integrity, and you have done it on the most public of stages in the biggest way possible, it can never be clawed back.
And what you're doing along the way is you're establishing every single day when you make these decisions, not based upon your own education and insight, but based upon what either Project 2025, what MAGA insists you do. When you make those decisions consistently, is that easy to do? Sure it is. All you need to do is look down the list and figure out what box to check there. What you're not doing is any analysis that could, under any other circumstance, prompt you to say to your leader, to the office, a business person who's in charge, whoever you're responsible to, you know what? I've got a different perspective. To be able to speak up and say, I want to be heard with credibility.
It's just completely absent. And if you look at whether or not we're talking about, the Make America Healthy Again paper that came out that referred to made up sources. You talk about Marco Rubio, who was always a foreign policy and Russia hawk, has apparently been replaced by a pod person version of Marco Rubio. Thank you to our newer caller who asked about that. Yeah, where is Marco Rubio? He will never be able to go back to any credible place. Marco Rubio, for better or worse, has picked his team forever.
Yes.
Once you're in, I don't know how people extricate themselves because you have so denigrated any expertise you may have had. You have prostrated. You've given over your credibility, your independent judgment, your thoughtfulness, your good faith. It doesn't exist. And you're functionally, again, unemployable everywhere else you would turn.
And there are examples out there, Maggie, of just the opposite. When you've got people who do have expertise, we think a lot about a guy named Tony Fauci, right? It turns out that, yes, we saw him on a daily basis during the COVID pandemic. But it turns out that this is a guy who's there with the CDC, who's got all these bona fides for years and years. That's the kind of guy. And again,
well, guess what Fauci's going to do? He could get a job literally with any global medical organization. Right? That is not going to be the case with RFK. He worked for a bought and paid for made up group that paid him like a half mil a year to spout his nonsense. Oh, yeah. And I'm sure those people that run WWE are just the folks to run our Department of Education right into the ground. When we come back, we're going to talk small businesses and Trump's tariff terror with Sean Fetteplace of the Main Street Alliance. Don't miss it. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.